Thanks for checking out the VU Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Dawn Cherie Wilkerson.
We're going to go to the book of Nehemiah. You know, we found ourselves in the Old Testament over the last few weeks, and Nehemiah was a man who lived way back in the day. This story is recorded in between 458 and 420 BC. And Nehemiah was just an ordinary man who God used to do extraordinary things. Yeah. And Nehemiah, he served in the Persian court. He served as a cupbearer. Now, it was way more important than just mixing drinks. He actually had a very prestigious position. A cupbearer to the Persian king was more like a personal assistant. He knew about the affairs of the nation. He was well-versed. He was cultured. And one day, he hears the word of his people, the Jews. And he hears word that the Jews who have left captivity in Babylon have returned to Jerusalem, the city that God loves, the center of all religious activity for the Jews. And as they've returned to the city that they love, the city has been absolutely devastated and destroyed. And he hears news of the walls of Jerusalem, its protection, the fortress around it, that the walls that were once huge and mighty have been torn down, burned, and destroyed. And Nehemiah is broken before God. He's far away from the need, but he carries the burden of the need. And Nehemiah begins to call out to God. And that's where we find ourselves in Nehemiah chapter 1. We're going to start reading tonight. We're going to start verse 1. It says this: "Now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, 'The remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates are destroyed by fire.' As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven." And I want to take the next few moments to talk to you about this thought: together we can. United we stand, divided we fall. But how many of you know together we can? Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this 8 p.m. service. Thank you for the purpose that is in this house. Thank you for the destinies, Lord, in every single seat. Lord, I thank you that together we can. Open up our hearts to see clearly. Open up our ears to hear the message. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. How many of you know that when God gives you a plan, his plan is always more than just your well-being? It starts there, right? But his plan always involves you receiving his love first and then taking it to the world around you. If you have a vision for your life, I hope you know that a God vision always involves reaching people. It always involves bringing hope to those who are hopeless. And here in the book of Nehemiah, we read about this man who hears of the Jews' plight, and he himself starts to carry the message and the burden of his people. He says, "God, let me be a part of the solution." And the Bible tells us that Nehemiah, when he feels that burden for the people in Jerusalem, when he feels that burden to go back and rebuild the walls, that he first prays and then he plans. How many of you know that we can get that confused sometimes? Sometimes we get our order out of order, right? Sometimes we plan, right? I'm gonna plan to step into this relationship. I'm going to plan to start this business. I'm going to plan to take this job. I'm going to plan to go to this school. I'm going to plan. And we plan and we plan and we plan until all of a sudden our plan isn't the right plan. You know what I'm talking about? And then all of a sudden we begin to pray, right? "Oh God, I want your plan. What is your plan?" He's like, "I had a plan. You should have asked me." We got to get the order right. There's a prayer time before you step into a plan. And before you step into action, there is a planning time where God will give you an action. It's not the time for the Church of Jesus Christ to shoot from the hip. It's not the time for the health of your family that you make a plan based upon your emotions in the moment, the newest initiative that afternoon, whatever sways you or moves you or feels like a good idea. That's not God's will for your life. God's will is that your steps be ordered. God's will is that you cry out to Him and that He gives you a plan that is faithful until the end. Come on, do you believe it tonight? We gotta pray. And then we got a plan. And this is exactly what Nehemiah does. Nehemiah prays, he plans, and then he acts. How many of you know there's a time where the prayer stops and you start to walk into a plan? And you pray as you plan, but now God has propelled you forward to have the faith to make a plan. And then there comes a time where the planning stops and it's time to jump off the cliff of faith and trust God. And it's time to walk into action. And yeah, you pray every step of the way, but you don't hold back. You run forward. You don't run, you move. And how many of you believe today that's God's will for your life? And so Nehemiah, man, he steps out. He cries out to God in his brokenness. He receives a plan from God, and then he actually makes his plea. He makes his request known to the king. He shares with the king what could have cost him his own life because it was God's plan. He found favor not just with God, but with the king himself. And hear me, the king didn't just allow Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. Oh no, it's way better than that. The king sent Nehemiah back with provision and protection. Can I encourage you today that when you step in the plan of God, he's able to open up doors that you could never open. And every step of the way, he's got protection for you. Can I get an amen? He's got provision for you. All you got to do is obey. And as you step out and obey, provision and protection, God will provide. And God does this for Nehemiah. And Nehemiah goes back to Jerusalem. And as he goes back, the word of God says in chapter 2, verse 11, he says, "So I went to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night and a few men with me, and I told no one what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, and the rest who were to do the work." Now there is exchange that takes place right here. Nehemiah goes back with a plan, but he is thorough. And before he opens up his mouth and shares the vision, he makes sure that he surveys the damage. He makes sure that he really understands what he is about to bring to the people. But then the turning point in the book of Nehemiah comes, because all of a sudden it goes from a single person receiving a vision to God's plan, which is a group project. How many of you know that God's plan within the community of the body of Christ is always a group project, right? And it's the same in the book of Nehemiah. It's beautiful. See, we need to understand that together we rebuild the walls. Together we're called to rebuild the walls. In chapter 3, we read of the walls being rebuilt. Hear me, this is no tiny undertaking. This is no, you know, just a home being rebuilt or you going through your junk drawer. This is a lot of work and effort. These walls were not the walls of a backyard. These were the walls of a city that spanned miles and that were once strong and tall, and now they've been destroyed. And I can just see them asking, how are we gonna do this? What is the first step? I don't know about you, but as I look around our world, every single week, the tragedies that are occurring, I find myself going, how are we going to do this? Between natural disaster and terrorism and brokenness in our city, brokenness in our family, addiction, isolation, loneliness, our world is full of darkness and destruction. But how many of you know that we're not called to do it alone? that alone, yeah, the darkness, it overwhelms us. But when we stand together, together we can rebuild the walls of our city. Come on, do you believe it tonight? We're called to rebuild. We can't hesitate. It's time to move. And Nehemiah puts the vision before the people of Jerusalem. Hear what he says. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we're in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision. And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. Listen to what Nehemiah says. He says, do you see the destruction? See, before you can act, you got to see it. Yeah. And then he makes an invitation. He says, come, let us rebuild. And then there were people that chose to respond to the call. Not everyone responded, but there were people that chose to step into the purpose of God. And the Bible says, they said, let us rise up and build. I don't think there's a better time in history for the local church of Jesus Christ to stand up on every continent, in every city, in every neighborhood, in every home, and to declare with a heart full of gratitude for the love of God, let us rise up and build. It's time to strengthen our arms for the building that is ahead. The people of Jerusalem strengthen their arms, and so should we. Because hear me, rebuilding is a lot harder than building. Building is exciting, right? You go to Home Depot, you get all your brand new, nice, clean materials, and you start on your clean, beautiful foundation. But rebuilding is messy. Rebuilding, it can be fearful, because as you return to the rubble, not only are you stepping into the physical labor of rebuilding, but you're facing the fears from the past. You're facing the destruction, and you're facing what once was strong and now is destroyed. Rebuilding is much harder than building, and the people of Jerusalem begin the rebuilding process. They go back to the walls that have been burned and destroyed, and they begin to rebuild. And as I read this book, Nehemiah, I was reminded of last summer. Some of you were here as we had Vision Sunday last fall, and the theme was make space. And we spoke from Isaiah chapter 54. And Isaiah 54 is a prophecy. And I could hear the words resound to us today again as I read about Nehemiah and the people rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem. Listen to what Isaiah says to you and to me. He says, you're going to take over whole nations. You're going to resettle abandoned cities. And it's as if God knew that fear would meet us at the wall as we stepped up to rebuild. Because then the prophet declares to our spirits, he says, don't be afraid. You're not going to be embarrassed. Don't hold back. You're not going to come up short. You'll forget about all the humiliations of your youth. Hear me. We are called to rebuild our city. You're called to rebuild your home. You're called to rebuild your marriage. We're called to rebuild our workplace. We're called to rebuild our faithfulness to the house of God. Some of you, you're rebuilding right now your commitment to serve and to grow. Some of you are recommitting to build and to be disciplined. But let the words of the prophet resound in your heart. Do not be afraid. You won't be embarrassed. Don't hold back. You're not going to come up short. You'll forget about all the humiliations of your youth. That is the word of God to you today. Do you receive it? God wants you to know you've got what it takes because he goes before you. This wasn't Nehemiah's plan. This was God's plan. Don't allow fear of the brokenness of the past. Don't allow fear of your parents' marriage to talk you out of the victory God has for your marriage. Don't let fear of the last situation at work talk you out of taking the step of faith to do what God has called you to do. Come on, it's time for us to fight. It's time for us to believe. It's time for us to rebuild. And they say, let us stand. Let us rebuild. We see this powerful, beautiful uprising of people who are committed to one vision. In chapter 3, we see this beautiful picture of what the church of Jesus Christ should look like, because in chapter 3 of Nehemiah, it paints a very clear picture of who was a part of rebuilding the wall. You don't see that very often in the Bible. Maybe when Solomon's palace was being built, Solomon's temple was being built. But hear me, you don't see it anywhere throughout the Bible, but you see it in Nehemiah chapter 3. Specific names are listed. Specific families and clans are listed. In fact, 16 times it says, this family built next to this family. And this family rebuilt next to this family. It calls out 42 different groups of people that were a part of one vision. 42 different groups. I thought VU had a lot of teams, but we're talking 42 different teams working on one project. That's called a God plan. That's called a God dream. And here's the truth. The only way a huge undertaking like that could ever occur is when people have one vision. And when they understand that they're a part of something a lot bigger than just what they're building. I love the story of the man who went to the rock quarry. And as he went to the rock quarry, there he was, and he saw all these men chipping away at stones. And he saw one of the men, and the men looked really ticked off. He just looked miserable. So he decided to talk to him. He was like, hey, man, what are you doing? He said, I'm cutting a stone. I've been cutting a stone all day. I'm just cutting a stone. He said, okay. Kept walking. Sees another guy who looks a little happier, but this guy's really intently focused on what he's doing. And he stops him. He says, hey, what are you doing? And the guy says, oh, I am the best stone cutter in the region. I cut stones better than anyone. This is what I've given my life to. I am so focused. Every single stone, it's what I'm giving my life to. He says, okay, cool. He goes to the next guy. This guy looks so happy. He's working. He's whistling while he works. He's having fun. He's got joy. And he has to stop. He's like, I got to talk to this guy. What's he working on? He says, what are you doing? And the guy looks at him with a twinkle in his eye and says, oh, I'm cutting a stone because I am a part of building a cathedral. Hear me. All three of the men had been given the same vision. All three of them interpreted and heard it differently. And you can look at the call of God on your life and you can simply say, oh, I'm just working hard. Oh, this is just tough. This is just rough. You can say, oh, I'm just super focused on what I'm building, my thing. Or you can say, the thing I'm a part of is bigger than the part that I play. I'm building the house of God. I'm restoring the walls of the city. God is using me. Come on, do you know God's using you? God's called you. He's purposed you. And it starts when you understand the vision. They're working together. They're working towards the same vision. And where are they working? It's really interesting because the Bible clearly tells us that each one of these groups, they were working in front of their homes. They rebuilt the wall that was directly in front of their homes. Now hear me. I don't know if you'll ever be called to sell everything you own and move to the other side of the world to do missions. But can I tell you that every single one of us are called to rebuild the walls on the home front where God has planted us. You want to know where to build? You start with where God has planted you. God's put a plan and a vision in front of us. Jesus is our message. People are our heart. We're here to serve our city so that God can change our city. And we're serious about it. This is a house that believes as we serve and as we build that God does what we could never dream. You say, what does that mean? Well, VU Cruise, this week, meeting all over the city. What's that about? Rebuilding the wall in front of our homes. in our neighborhoods, bringing hope and restoration, free to grow. Every Tuesday, every other Tuesday night on Crew Weeks, people are finding restoration and healing through this class. You say, what's that about? Rebuilding our walls, being able to strengthen people's lives and for them to understand their identity. Say, what is the gathering on Sundays about? We're rebuilding the walls of our city. There's enough gatherings that are full of darkness and despair and emptiness and worthlessness. But when we gather, we realize we have an eternal purpose. We're called to rebuild the walls, but it's your choice whether you step into it, because there is an opportunity for every single one of us. God's called us by name, and he's invited us to be a part of it. You see, not only do we build the walls together, but secondly, together we reject the opposition. Yeah. Hear me, whenever you start to rebuild, there is opposition. Always. Step A leads to response B from the enemy. And he doesn't wait for you to complete your project. Just as soon as you speak your faith that you're going to start it, that's when he starts his plan to attack. When you take that first step, he wants to knock the wind out of you. He's waiting to kill, steal, and destroy. Say, Don Shree, that sounds really intense. Really, I think we could all look to people in our lives, people that we love whose life has been destroyed by the darkness. The enemy is waiting to destroy. But together, we reject the opposition. And in Nehemiah, we see a picture of opposition rise up. We read about Sanballat. Sanballat was a local official, and he was ticked off that they were trying to build the walls. I mean, he starts to make fun of them. He starts to criticize them. He starts to talk. He's saying things with his buddies like, "Ah, if a fox walked on that wall, it would crumble." Are you kidding me? This is a huge wall they're building. But he's mocking them. And he's belittling them. How many of you know that the enemy will try always to make you believe that what God's placed in your hand is insignificant? He'll always try to make you believe that what God has entrusted you with isn't worth your time or your effort or your sacrifice. And Sanballat starts to belittle what they are doing as they are rebuilding. And then he even takes it a step further. He actually plans an attack. We find this story in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Now when Sanballat heard that they were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, 'Why are these feeble Jews? What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that?'" The enemy was so angry that breaches were being filled. And you may not see the breaches being filled in your life and in your home through your faithfulness, but it's happening. And the enemy sees it even before you see it, because he sees your faith and it strikes fear in his heart, because light always overcomes the darkness. And Sanballat tries to strike fear in Nehemiah's heart. And you know what? It almost works. They almost buy it. And we almost read a story of the rebuilding process being finished and being left broken, because they start to listen to the voice of the enemy. Listen to what the Jews begin to say and tell me if it sounds familiar. In Judah, it was said, this is verse 10, "The strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There's too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. And our enemy said, 'They will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work.'" Does that sound familiar to anybody? I think we just read that Sanballat was calling what they were building a pile of rubble. And now we read just a couple verses later that the builders have picked up on what their enemy is feeding them and hasn't just believed it, but now they are regurgitating it. Now they are speaking it out themselves. They have bought the lie. I have the greatest Italian grandmother. She is amazing. I call her Nana. And she was an athlete, she's a musician, and I just love her so much. And for the last several decades, she's struggled with migraines. And growing up, my Nana had a parrot. And this parrot I thought was so cool when I was younger, because I would go over to her house, and this parrot could talk. And I don't know if you guys have ever been around a parrot, but it's pretty unbelievable because they pick up on every single thing you say. And this parrot, I would be over at the house hanging with her, and this parrot would start to sing in an opera tone, "Hallelujah, thine the glory." And then I'd be in the middle of hanging out and playing and just hanging at the house, and then all of a sudden I'd hear this voice, and it sounded a lot like my Nana, but my Nana was with me, so it's impossible, and I'd hear this voice go, "Oh, Jesus, my head hurts so bad." How many of you know that parrot's head did not hurt? That parrot had just heard many times someone else speak that their head hurt. And all of a sudden that parrot started to repeat what it heard. Some of you have bought the lie of the enemy. Some of you have picked up on the criticism. Some of you have picked up on the negativity. Some of you have picked up on the language of the enemy. But it's time for you to wake up and go, "Oh no, I'm not destroyed. Oh no, I'm not broken. I'm not a victim because of Jesus. I'm victorious because of Jesus. I've got a purpose because of Jesus. I've got a destiny." Come on, do you believe it tonight in this house? It's time for you to speak your faith. It's time for you to speak your faith. And they reject the opposition. The Jews start to believe it, but then Nehemiah, being the great leader that he is, he doesn't walk over to them and give them a pity party. He doesn't pat them on the back and say, "Hey, let's take a break and let's have a couple meetings and then we'll try to plan something else that you're comfortable with and that you feel good about." No, Nehemiah comes in with a plan straight from God. And he says, "You know what? We're not going to stop building. We're going to bulk up and we're going to start to provide protection as well." And this is what we read. That Nehemiah stands before the people. He says in verse 13, "So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, their bows. And I looked in a row and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, 'Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your homes.'" This is God's word to us tonight. That when the enemy tries to intimidate you from backing down from your post of rebuilding together, because he knows together we can do this, that you would look back and you would say, "Absolutely not. I won't be afraid of you." Just as Nehemiah said, "I will remember my God. I will remember who he is. I remember that he doesn't abandon me. He doesn't give me a purpose and then leave me alone to figure it out. I remember that I serve the God whose mercies are new every morning. I'll remember the God who doesn't ever write me off or give up on me. I'll remember the God whose love is unconditional. I'll remember the God who has been faithful every step of the way. And as I remember who he is, I'll remember who I am. And I'll fight for my family. I'll fight for my sisters. I'll fight for my brothers. I'll fight for this city. I'll fight for those who can't fight for themselves, because God has called us to rebuild." And not only do they rebuild the walls together, not only together can we reject the opposition, but finally tonight, together we protect our position. Together, as we rebuild, we protect our position. Nehemiah, he stepped up as a leader and he added safety. They returned to work, and this time they were armed. And this verse gets me fired up. Verse 15 in chapter 4 says this: "When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction, half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah who were building the wall." Hear this. This is a picture of what we do as we follow Jesus. "Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side." They labored to build the wall with one hand, and they stood on guard, ready to fight the battle at hand with the other. Hear me, whatever we hold on to in our hands, because the Bible says throughout Nehemiah that they strengthened their hands and that the Lord strengthened their hands. Whatever you hold in your hands should either be for building or for protection. Anything else is not worth your time, your energy, your effort. In one hand, they were building. In the other, they were protecting. What are you holding on to? Is your grasp firmly around the past? Because the past isn't rebuilding your life. And the past isn't protecting you. What is your hand around today? Is it around bitterness and unforgiveness? That bitterness is not building you. And that bitterness is not protecting you, no matter how safe it makes you feel. Are you holding on to shame? That shame isn't from God. That shame is not building your life. It's not protecting you. That laziness, that comfort, what are you holding on to? Because as followers of Jesus, we don't have to guess what God has given to us to build and protect with. God has placed us in community. And do you know that community builds and protects? That we gather together every single time, whether it's in crews or for team night or on Sundays at the crack of dawn or late at night, that we are building the body of Christ, and with our faithfulness, we are protecting the legacy that God has entrusted to us. This is the plan of God for us, that we build and protect. And you say, Dawn Sheree, that's impossible. That's too hard. No, it's not. God's already given you what you need. You say, what do you mean? Well, as followers of Jesus, we're filled with the Spirit of God, right? And all of a sudden, as we trust him, he makes a change that we could never make on our own. And our life externally starts to visibly produce the fruits of the Spirit. I want you to think about the fruit of the Spirit for just a moment. Because I believe that the evidence of the Spirit living within you is actually beautiful evidence that you are building and protecting at the same time. Love. You know, love builds and it protects. Love builds as we speak life over those around us. Love protects as we stand up for those that need a defense. What about faith? I love to talk about faith. Because even in the darkest times of despair, when faith rushes in, our circumstances may not change, but all of a sudden we realize that we're armed for battle. And faith builds. Faith builds an atmosphere. As you raise your hands and start to sing glory to God, don't you know the atmosphere changes? That's because faith builds. Faith builds as you serve. Faith builds as you step out and trust God. Faith builds in one hand, but on the other hand, faith protects. Because when fear comes against you and tries to attack you, how many of you know, faith gets in there and it cuts it out. Faith gets in there and it shuts the mouth of the accuser. Faith builds and it protects. God's given us the ability together to build and protect. We aren't called to build and protect on our own. It would have been a joke if one of those kids stepped up, one of the sons or daughters of one of the families, and just said, I'm going to do this alone. But no, together they were able to build and protect. That's really what this Saturday is about. Some of you have heard about Team Conference. We're so excited because this is a conference specifically for people who are servant leaders in our house. You say, what is a servant leader? You know, you may say it's a fancy way of volunteering, but I just think that the purpose is so much deeper than that. That's why we don't call it volunteering. We call it servant leadership. Because as we serve, we know that God uses us to lead people to his love. And this Saturday, we place value on equipping the people that are building this house. It's completely free, just for servant leaders. We have two world-renowned, incredible ministers of the gospel coming. Gary Clark from Hillsong London, leading multiple campuses throughout the city of London, changing the city with the light of Jesus. Levi Lesko, pastor of Fresh Life, author of two best-selling books, incredible man and leader. You say, why? Why do you take the time to do that? Because we want to invest in those who are building. We want to invest in those so that they can understand that they're equipped to build, but that together we're also equipped to protect. And how do you protect? You get your eyes on the same vision. You have a bigger picture than just yourself. And as we link up together, all of a sudden we're able to reach people that were unreachable. Maybe you heard in the news this summer, it made national news that In Panama City Beach, there were two young boys, 8 and 11 years old, who were outside hanging out, having the best day with their family, I'm sure. And they were boogie boarding out in the ocean, and all of a sudden the rip current was so strong that it started to pull them out into the ocean. And they got in a very serious situation where they could not make it back. And they started to scream and shout for help, and their family that was on the beach saw them crying out for help, and their family ran out into the ocean just like you would for those that you love. They ran out, and the whole family, the mother ran out, the family ran out, and before long, as they tried to rescue these two boys, they found themselves in the same predicament. Their lives were at risk. They were fighting for their lives against the waves as the current pulled them out back into the ocean further and further as they tried to fight their way back. And people on the shore started to take notice as they screamed and as their hands waved, crying out for help. They couldn't help themselves. There wasn't a boat nearby. The rescue team couldn't get to them in time. They were trying to get together a plan when all of a sudden, complete strangers on shore decided that together they could do something. And CNN will tell you that over 80 strangers linked arms. And they reached and formed a human chain from the shore all the way to that family. And that family was saved. You say, Don Shree, the darkness is too great. Oh no, together we can. You say, Don Shree, my situation is too impossible. No, together we can. You say, this city will never change. Oh no, with the power of God and our sacrifice and obedience, He says to us, together we can. Come on, give God a shout of praise in this house.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.